The good news of Jesus Christ, according to Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to all those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel and remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is the gospel of the Lord.
This morning, as we consider really Mary's encounter with God and how she responded to that. And I've called my message this morning, "For no word from God will ever fail." No word from God will ever fail. Now, you may have noticed that our themes during Advent are, you may have noticed, the lights outside, the front there, hope, peace, joy, and love, right? Those 4 weeks of Advent. And the reason for emphasizing these themes is because this is what the coming of Jesus brings to the world. And I don't mean this in a purely kind of sentimental way, as if they were all just about these fuzzy feelings, you know, hope, well, I hope it doesn't rain, and I hope that I get my dream job, you know, peace, well, so that I can get on with my life without being interrupted, you know, and joy, well, I just thought I could just carry on being happy, and love, well, that hopefully somebody loves me and I have a good relationship with somebody. Not at all. Not talking about that. We're talking about hope, peace, joy, and love that Jesus brings us from God. And they aren't sentimental ideas at all, really. As you've seen over the last 3 or 4 weeks, real hope is about confidence in the present and in the future, because we can know God. We may not know what the future holds, but we know him who holds the future. And so Jesus makes it possible for us to have a real sense of hope in this world. The peace that Jesus brings is about forgiveness of sin and about relationship and friendship with God. It's about no more guilt and shame. It's about a clear conscience and the liberty to be able to admit failures without condemnation, knowing that God's grace is greater than our greatest failings. Folks, that is real peace, right? The joy that Jesus brings is a kind of a God optimism that just keeps welling up from your heart, from the very deepest parts of your soul. And it kind of moves its way out into every area of life, no matter what's going on around you. No matter your circumstances, there's a sense that you know that God is in control. He loves me. He's working all things for good. There's a deep sense of joy. That's the joy that Jesus brings us. And of course, real love. This is about acceptance and belonging. Knowing that you are a child of God, that God delights in you, that you're safe, that your Father in heaven loves you with an everlasting love. And Jesus demonstrates and calls us into that love. Folks, these are weighty realities, aren't they? They are life-transforming realities. And this is what Jesus came to bring us. Because Jesus came to bring us God himself. Reconciliation with God. The healing of our souls. Communion with God. This is what Christmas is all about. And I wonder if you noticed in our gospel reading this morning that this was actually Mary's experience. As she encountered God through the angel and the word of God, that was her experience. And her song that she sings there in verses 46 to 55 shows her just kind of filled with wonder and amazement, doesn't it? Filled with joy. Why? Because in the coming of Jesus, she recognizes God coming to her. God coming to her. And she's filled with hope, peace, joy, and love. Well, how did it happen for her? And that's a great question. We'll be exploring that together. But just before we jump in, I wonder as we begin, is your heart perhaps this morning longing for this? I wonder if you're thirsty for this living water that God offers you in the coming of Jesus. Real hope, peace, joy, and love. Do you want what Mary experienced? That's an important question, isn't it? I want us to see four things about Mary's encounter with God and about how the coming of Jesus to her changed her life. So the first one is the God encounter itself. We'll look at that. Secondly, choosing to trust God. Thirdly, how her faith is confirmed in community with others. And then finally, we'll see her hope, peace, joy, and love manifesting in the gospel. So let's look at firstly then at her encounter with God. Well, Mary is in Nazareth, which is the north of Israel. She's likely 15 or 16 years old. She's engaged to Joseph, who's not yet married. And the angel Gabriel appears to her. Now, angels are messengers. And I love Ezra doing this with his hands. But folks, very unlikely that they were actually doing that. Whenever angels rock up, people fall down. Okay, they are so frightened. Angels are messengers from the Lord, men and or women. When they come, they bring God's word. And Gabriel comes to Mary and brings God's word to her. And so notice that God is speaking to Mary. That's the first encounter. It's with God through his word. Verse 28, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." The angel said to her, "You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." The angel continues, verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." That's the first thing to note about encountering God, is that God speaks to our hearts. And you'll know when God speaks to your heart, because your response will probably be a lot like Mary's. And what was it? Well, verse 29, Mary was afraid. She was greatly troubled. Verse 34, Mary was confused. She says, "How can this be?" You see, Mary was deeply challenged. And so in the encounter with God through his word, Mary experiences a sense of confusion. She's challenged. She's deeply shaken. And this is what often happens when God draws near to us, particularly when we're not expecting him to. There can be fear. There can be confusion. There's a sense with Mary that she's kind of out of her depth. How can this be? That she's out of control. How can this be real? And yet in the midst of this fog, in the midst of the fear, the confusion, this feeling of being out of control, the angel says, verse 37, "For no word from God will ever fail." And folks, and suddenly, and in a moment, Mary has a choice to make. Mary has a choice to make. God has spoken. How will she respond? Will she yield her heart to God's grace and love for her? Will she entrust herself to God and his purposes for her? Will she go God's way? Or will she go her own way? In that moment, that's the choice that she needs to make. And so in the encounter with God through his word, that brings us to that very important second point. Trusting God. Trusting him. I wonder, are you encountering God even now? Is God's voice speaking to you? And folks, can I say, I don't ask that question for those who may not have encountered God before, who might say, well, I may or may not be a Christian, or perhaps certainly a nominal one. I also ask that of those who have been walking with God for some time. There are times in the Christian life when we can get overwhelmed by life's struggles, when we are tempted to kind of take a path of thinking that we need to take control of our lives, when anxiety therefore starts to rise and rise, and we can even start to feel strangled, and we know instinctively that we need God. But if we're honest, we're trusting in our own strength. We're trusting in our own abilities and our own willpower. We were looking to ourselves, and we feel cold and hard and alone and exhausted. And so being a follower of God doesn't mean we're immune from these things. It's the same temptation for us all. Do we need to encounter God again? Will you entrust yourself to God again? It could well be that those very circumstances, that very situation that's causing you to feel that sense of oppression even, is in fact God drawing you to himself. And a bit like Mary saying, will you trust me? Will you believe me? Are you facing a choice in your life, even today, to go your own way or to go God's way for you? Mary had a choice to make. We have choices to make. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus is speaking to the church. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. It's an incredible metaphor, isn't it, of the communion that Jesus wants to have with his people. And yet we must open the door, isn't it? We've got a choice to make. As we hear the voice, we have to trust. We must respond. And Mary opened the door. She trusted the Lord. She clung to his word. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Is God drawing near to you today? Are you trusting God? Do you need to hear the angel say to you, just as Mary did that day, you can trust God because no word from God will ever fail. And that's the first two points to see this morning, and sort of putting ourselves into a place where we can quench that thirst of our hearts for God's hope, peace, joy, and love in Jesus. Those are the first things to see. Hearing God's word. And no matter how we might be initially responding, whether it's confusion or fear or uncertainty, but as we hear, we're then brought to that place of, what will we do with it? Will we trust? And then now thirdly, I want us to see how for Mary, that sense of her stepping forward, actually trusting God, that no word from God will ever fail, that she actually believes that, is confirmed by others. And it's a really important point to see there. It's subtle, but it's important there from verse 39. Now, although everything we've talked about so far is very much a personal encounter with God, and God does encounter us personally, but it's not individualistic. It's never meant for people simply to be individual people who know God. Encountering God and learning to trust God is something that almost always happens in community. The experience is witnessed by others. And this is why the church, the community of faith, is so central to healthy and growing faith. Notice how the angel prods Mary. Now go right to Elizabeth. Interesting. So this encounter happens. Mary hears, she trusts, and then the angel, now go to Elizabeth, her relative. Verse 36. Even Elizabeth, the angel says, your relative is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. And so Mary rushes off to visit Elizabeth. And look at verse 39. She greets Elizabeth, and at that moment, the baby inside Elizabeth, this is the little John the Baptist, right? He leaps for joy inside Elizabeth's womb. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she proclaims in a loud voice. Now notice, she's being led by God to speak these words over Mary. Verse 42. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you'll bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Elizabeth, in a sense, is really confirming what is going on inside of Mary spiritually. She gives voice to Mary's own belief. And it's then that it seems that the penny really seems to drop for Mary. And she then bursts into song. My soul magnifies or glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. That what's known as the Magnificat. Mary's whole being is now completely taken up in rejoicing in God. How did that happen? Well, it came about through the prompting of Elizabeth. Another witness, another believer who would speak those words to her to confirm in her what was going on for her. We know God, folks, and ourselves best, most honestly, most authentically, in community with our other brothers and sisters, in the sharing of life and love with one another. We discern most clearly God's call on our lives and life's decisions in community with our brothers and sisters. Why? Because none of us have got perfect self-perception. We can deceive ourselves too easily, right? We need the other. And that's why God has drawn us into the family of God, the people of God, the church. We are called into a deep sense of community, of love and of submission to one another out of reverence for Christ. And it's so often in those places that the Lord is revealing his will to us and making himself known. So that sense of community is a very important aspect in the story of Mary and her encounter with God and her own faith. I wonder if that's something for you to consider this morning. And then finally, Mary's personal experience now of the gospel. I want to finish today by just briefly looking at what Mary is singing about in that wonderful song. Her life is being transformed. The coming of Jesus is changing the world. It's changing Mary's world. And that is what real hope, peace, and joy and love looks like. She realizes that life isn't about getting ahead. Life isn't about being first, accumulating wealth and security and possessions. It's not about me being in control of everything. It's not about me necessarily fulfilling my desires and thinking that I've got to, be everything that I've decided for myself to be. She sees it's about God. Life is about God. It's about God being all-powerful and in control. It's about God overturning this world's distorted values of rich and poor, worthy and unworthy. Ultimately, life is about Jesus, about coming into a relationship with God. And in her song, Mary really is singing about that. She's singing about this miracle, this counterintuitive principle of grace, this great reversal that God's coming in Jesus brings. You know, when the Bible looks towards the future and said God is going to put all things to rights, the great day of judgment, the great new creation, we can kind of think to ourselves sometimes, oh, okay, so he's going to fix a few things because things aren't quite the way they should be. Folks, the picture we get of Scripture is that God's going to turn it like that. That's what's going to happen. All the things that we are constantly being taught and kind of shaped and molded into these worldly values are going to be turned upside down. And that's what her song's about. The overturning of the proud and the powerful and the lifting up of the poor and those who fear and trust in the Lord. Verse 51, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in the inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, lifted up and honoring those at the bottom, the poor, Verse 52, he's lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. What is going on? This is what Jesus brought. This is what the gospel is all about. God's grace to all people. You see, the gospel is not the good and all together and the arrogant get in. And the weak and the fragmented and the bad are out. No, that's not the gospel. Rather, those who know, those who have come to a place of revelation and acceptance and recognition that they are bad, that they are fragmented, as the scripture says, that they are contrite, those are the ones who get in. While those who think that they've got it all together, the proud, they're out. The gospel is about God's sheer grace to all people. If you will accept, if you will come to a place of accepting and understanding and knowing that I am fragmented, I am scattered, then you'll be gathered. But if you think you're all together, then you'll be scattered. The proud will be scattered, while those like Mary who know that they are small and weak, they'll be gathered up in the everlasting arms. God's grace in Jesus puts every single person on the same footing. I wonder if this Christmas you, like Mary, might encounter God in a fresh way. Is it time to pause and listen to God? Is your life on a path that's growing in anxiety and confusion and exhaustion? Perhaps God is drawing near to you right in that space so that you might lift up your eyes and come to him. Will you listen? Like Mary, what that wonderful example of faith. God is continually encountering us, folks. God isn't far away. He's continually encountering. We've got to work hard to try and stop listening. He is speaking all the time. Will we listen? And will we take that step to trust? Who are the people around you who are going to support you in your faith journey? Because you're going to hold on to that gospel, which says that those who are honest and who will realize their sin and weakness and failings, they will be lifted up and held in the everlasting arms. Is that your heart this morning? Because no word from God will ever fail. Folks, I've got a little book here called How to Follow Jesus. It's a great book. It's written by the people who do Alpha. And so it's written as a kind of book to help you if you have actually encountered God and you now want to know what it looks like to start taking those steps and what does it look like to pray and what does it mean to be in community, those sorts of things. For some of you, you might be well-versed in those things. But if you are not sure, you've never heard about that or would like to know more, please come and see me. I'd love to be able to help you in that journey today, this Christmas Eve. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy, your grace, and your love for us. Lord, we thank you that your word over this world is love, that your word over this world is reconciliation, it is healing, it is hope, it is peace, it is joy, it is love in our Lord Jesus. Lord, please help us today by your Spirit to hear your voice and, like Mary, to believe, to trust you, to accept that no word from you will ever fail. And Lord, would you help us to continue to trust you and put that gospel of real forgiveness, of real mercy into action in our lives. Amen.